I once worked with a guy in, as a park ranger in the Tetons who unwittingly screwed up every old saying he said, and he said a lot of them. And the first one I ever heard, he was trying to say the icing on the cake, but he said, well, if we could do that, that would just be the gravy on the cake. And he would say things like, don't sit there like a dump on a log. And they were so unique that I started to write them down. And years later, I pulled that out as a story idea and said, let's try to make somebody who says the gravy on the cake. And it quickly became apparent that I couldn't make it believable that someone wasn't doing that on purpose. And so I had to figure out, well, why would somebody talk like that? And so I thought of a dad who wasn't home very often, who would try to be over-the-top fun, goofy. And so he...
Cool.
Yeah, cool. And he did this all the time. And rather than his point of view, I thought it would be better to show it from one of his children's point of view. And, well, maybe the best place would be a girl hitting adolescence.
And how did you come to that? Because the central character in the book and in the film is a teenage girl. And here you are, middle-aged guy.
Right. Well, I thought for the story, if the narrator was a teenage girl and who had a father who was never there, that this would be the opening of the biggest rift between them, where she's going into womanhood, which is something he doesn't understand. And he's kind of tried to raise her as a tomboy. And it was just a idea that would be the most interesting, to open this family up more. And then I found myself writing, oh my gosh, now I'm writing from the first person point of view of a teenage girl, which is not what I'd expected. But it's people always ask of how is that possible? How can you do it? And you know, my wife calls my job sitting in my basement playing with my imaginary friends. And if you do that all the time and you're making stuff up, it's not that difficult to put yourself into another's skin. And the gender difference, I think, working just with the emotions, the emotions are more universal than people realize. You know, people get elated, get sad, in pretty much the same way. So if you can make the emotion true that somebody thinks, wow, that's how that would feel, they can get into the character without worrying about the picture of the mustache guy on the back of the book.
How did the book become a film?
Through no fault of mine whatsoever. Jen Sprague, the wife of the writer Mark Sprague, who's a friend of mine, just said, asked me, could I do a screenplay of this? She and Mark have worked together on screenplays before. And she said the book just really struck a tone with her. And she asked, could I do a screenplay and see what happens? And sure.
How hard is that? Because it's another writer rewriting your stuff.
Right. Right.
And well, how collaborative was that? Or did she go off and it was done and take it or leave it?
Well, she, it wasn't weird at all to me because I had no experience with it. I just said, yeah, go for it. And she was fabulous. She showed me kind of her, not her first draft, but a draft that she was comfortable with and said, I want you to see this. I want to really be true to what you tried to do, but it's my story. And so this isn't a collaboration, but if there's things in here that really bother you, I want to know. And which is way more access than a writer usually gets. And
right, once you sell the rights, you're
right. They buy the story, and right. It's theirs. And so she went way beyond anything she had to do, and then through the whole course of the movie, kept me informed of what they were doing, who they were looking at for casting, and everything.
The film, it seems to me, has a literary tone to it, mm-hmm. which I think means that she stuck pretty close to your book.
Right. She went in. She said, you know, I have to find my way into the story. So there's changes made that are what she felt she needed to do to get into the story. And there's other changes made that are understandable. In the book, Lucy, through most of the early half of the book.
Lucy's the lead teenage character.
Right. Her father gives her a buzz cut. And they really had trouble finding a teenage actress who could shave her head. Mostly they were willing, but they were also in other projects. Sarah Bolger, who plays Lucy, was in a HBO or BBC series, and so she couldn't show up to work at that with a shaved head. Mm-hmm. And so Jen warned me, said, this will probably be a problem. We have to figure out a way to all the metaphor and stuff that you use by having her shave her head. We've got to write an alternate to get around that. And so she came up with a way to do that. So some of it's just kind of technical stuff, and some is her way in to the story. And it is the movie was made 10 years after the book was out, and so I had a long remove between the two. So that offered some free separation for me. So it wasn't as difficult, I think, that it could be to see things change.
The lead character is played by Sarah Bolger, who's an Irish actress, and she's been on television and some other things and done a couple of the movies, but she's not a well-known actress in this country yet. But boy, she's terrific in this.
Yeah.
So believable.
Yeah, they filmed in Albuquerque, and I went down to watch a few days of filming, and my son's got to be extras in the high school scenes, and the scenes I watched with her, she was making me choke up, and I knew it was coming. And she was with Claire Danes, who I expected to be.
Yeah,
I expected her to be fabulous. And Sarah was all but stealing the scenes. She was an incredible surprise.
Yeah. Claire Danes, of course, is one of the hottest actresses around right now because of her starring in the Showtime series Homeland.
Right.
You must have been thrilled to get a name like that.
I didn't mind at all. Everybody wants to know, what's Claire Danes like? And our experience on the set from the first minute to the last was unbelievable. We sat down for lunch after I'd warned the boys, don't get in the way. We're just tourists. I am a nobody here. And so we sat at the end of a table at the lunch break, and Claire came and sat down with us and wanted to meet the boys and thank me for writing the book and getting everything started. Mm. So
sounds like
none
a
of
real
this,
person.
Yeah, none of the prima donna stuff that you've heard about. The director was he really wanted to follow the book too, and he had an explanation for the different stories that I thought was really good. He said, "You started it. You're the reason we're all here." And you've invented Lucy. You made her come to life. And then Jen had to take that story and make it her story. And then Jen had to give
the screenwriter.
Right. And Jen had to give me the story. And now it's my story to do. We all wanted to stay true to what brought us here, but we all have our own storytelling takes. And that just seemed to make sense to me.
So now that you've had a film made out of one of your books, Pete, do you now write thinking, wow, I wonder if this could be a movie?
No. No, it would be like winning the lottery once and saying, well, I wonder if I can do that again.
Because there are writers who write with that in mind.
Right. No, I never, never thought about this ever. And I still don't. I really, what I love about writing is becoming somebody else. And
going down to your basement and playing with your
imaginary
characters.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think if I was starting to think, oh, who could play this person? Or how would this look on film? For me, the writing is very visual to begin with, which is why I think that they make the adaptation to film is fairly easy. I've had one short story become a short film, and now there's some negotiations going on for another novel for the film rights. And I think for that, I would like to try to write a screenplay from that novel, but I would never want to try to write an original screenplay. If I'm working on a new novel now, and people ask that a lot. You know, are you writing with film in mind? And I'm like, no, I'm writing to see how does this guy get out of this? How does he live through his life? And if something would happen with that later on, that'd be great. But it's not
gravy on the cake.
Exactly. You're good, Sally. That would be the gravy on the cake for sure.
Well, I've been speaking with author Pete Fromm, and we've been talking about his novel As Cool As I Am, which has been made into a very, very nice movie by the same title. Pete, congratulations on all the success.
Oh, thanks. It's been, like I said, I didn't have a lot to do with it. I just started it rolling.